Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener. Good morning, and don't forget our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. We've got Larry Glass, and we also have Mr. Kevin involved here with the mix today.
Oh, I just love coming in here and talking with Larry.
Oh, boy, Kevin.
This is one of my highlights, talking to Larry. I'm
sorry. When are you going to do something about the weather?
Larry.
I am so tired of this stuff.
Oh, Larry.
Fix it.
Well, you used to blame it on Charlie. Now you want to blame it on me and Tom and we.
I keep telling him, boss, we just read it, man.
We're actually, next week,
we don't make it.
Next week, I think you're going to be redeemed for all your evil doings here.
Larry and I were just talking. We need 90-degree days.
We got a couple 85s coming.
We need some 90-degree weather and a little bit of... If we get about a 20-mile-an-hour wind out of the southwest, 90-degree, we'll get
the weather back up to where it belongs. And
where it belongs. And gosh, this is...
And I know, I can't get any projects done.
I mean, every time we get something like this, the Bermuda grass, they just...
You ever tried to till ground like this?
Oh.
It's just nothing but a mud.
It's difficult enough planting trees, getting the tiller out there. You have to get a chain onto the truck to pull it out.
But I will say this, Larry. I've seen... Of course, we've been working long hours up here.
Yeah.
And, but not asking for sympathy, but anyway. But what I'm saying is...
What's all that stuff
do? I know. Anyway. So somebody has to put the information in and report
and then it.
It
does its thing.
But that's okay.
I'm just kidding.
What I'm saying is I've kind of been around town, and there's a lot of work going on in people's yards.
People are getting outside their home, and they're doing a lot of work in the yard. Yesterday, I was delivering trees to people's houses and all kinds of stuff like that.
I want to get some mulch.
Yes.
And have you bring me some mulch, but it's just so wet.
I know. I was out at your house last weekend.
Yeah. And, we looked around on things I need to get done.
My shoes popped off when I was walking in the mud.
That's how it sounded, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a mess.
You know, I caught one day that was dry enough to mow my yard and get things mowed down a little bit. Oof.
You're actually able to mow without having to call a tow truck.
Yes.
All right.
And I'm just thankful I did it then.
Yeah.
But I did get my little Yopon hollies. I took the hedge trimmers and chopped off the tops and I got that done. And I've got most of my stuff trimmed back now. Now I need to start moving that. And what about those drift roses? You got those in yet, Larry?
We have some drift roses.
I need coral.
They're not in yet.
Okay, I'm not going to plant them then.
Yeah, I think we get those from California.
Ooh, you better put the UV lights on those.
Well, they'll be out in the sunshine. So
to kill the Chinese flu.
Yeah, they'll be out in the sunshine.
So
that should be a problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
we'll put a mask on them.
We'll put a mask on them.
Anyway.
So what have you been doing this week out there?
This week, we've been working on some drainage projects.
Slowly but surely,
yeah.
Yeah, and the good news about that is you can see if it really works.
And it does, actually.
You get to see if it works.
Halfway through the project, we installed the pump and all that, and it's functional at this point. And the area that was previously just sopping wet 2 days after the rain is actually drying out. So it's working. So there's something to say about managing surface runoff and subterranean water and how the land is sloped around the house, too.
Yeah.
So,
I was out at Enterprise Sod this week, out there some, and he's one of our sponsors here. But They've been really busy.
Yeah.
They've been busy.
A lot of people putting sod down at their house and trying to get the house all spruced up.
Well, they're home, so.
Got time, yeah.
They got time.
Nothing like good fresh air and sunshine.
We need sunshine.
But right? You guys are so tight with your sunshine.
Well, we headed for a day or two. We headed for a day or two.
Yeah, I think I saw the sun for a little bit.
And we talk about April showers bring May flowers, but we don't need any more showers in April, do we, Larry?
No, actually, we are above average right now.
Where are we, Larry?
In April, in March, actually, the average is 3.5 inches. We had 7.1 inches. And our cumulative average is 7.0 inches, and we have had 13 inches of rain.
So we're already 6 inches ahead.
Yeah.
Usually January and February are our driest.
I know. January is normally dry, yes.
Very dry.
Uh-huh.
And
we had 3.7 inches of rain in January.
Yeah. And what did we get in February?
5.9 inches.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So, and it's usually a dry month.
Yeah, I know. Typically right now, in 1st of April, for the last few years, we've had a dry spell here in early April.
Yeah. No, we're not having it.
No. So people just kind of have to wait because I just simply can't get the ground ready.
But I think next week we're going to have a little improvement, aren't we, Tom? Yeah,
a little bit. Back then, we've got a couple of days. It looks like Tuesday and Wednesday with sunshiny highs near 85.
We're getting close to 90. Mm-hmm.
Monday.
Cancer rain. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Sunny. 85.
Wednesday. Thursday, chance of rain. Friday,
chance of rain. There you go.
So we get 2 days.
Two days on, two days off. So, but anyway, we'll have some time there. We didn't just have a horrible rain yesterday. It wasn't a deluge.
No. Yeah. So, we did have a little bit of a hot spell last week, I believe it was. And the crabgrass started growing. This is somebody's house. The crabgrass was up all over the place.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not. So
will this cold weather snap it back now?
No. The warm weather makes it.
I know, germinate. Grow,
but it just kind of goes into stasis when it's cold. So it won't kill it. It has to be sub-freezing for that to happen.
We don't want that because it gets everything else too. Yeah.
So if you didn't get your crabgrass control down, well, you can still put it down. You can still get some control.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten it down yet.
I used some Roundup recently. I did. Okay. And I got to tell you, it worked.
Dr. Glyphosate here.
I got to tell you, it worked. Yeah. I want to tell everybody.
Roundup is a non-selective herbicide.
I understand that.
You're going to have to make a trip to the sod
nope,
farm.
It'll be fine. It'll come back out.
Yeah.
So,
Bermuda grass is a tough one to kill. But golly, Johnson grass is too. It's terrible to try to control. And typically, we use Roundup on a paintbrush, or a paint roller, or even a rag dipped in the Roundup to selectively control Johnson grass if you have some of that in your other grass too. But it can work. So,
take it with the paintbrush, huh?
Yeah, it works pretty well, actually. I did some of that last year, some of the weeds, those persistent weeds came up, and it took care of them pretty well. So
here's what you missed. You can beat your Roundup with a paintbrush.
You know that.
Yeah.
Paint rollers work real well.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, there's the wick method also.
Same thing.
If you get the weeds tall enough, you just hit it with a wick, and you go over the top of it. But
how many candles do you have to take the wick out of for that to work?
That's not it, Larry. But I think I'm almost done using Roundup, Larry. I think I'm done.
For this week? Yeah,
well, no, till fall. Because I told you, I showed you.
Hey, you got that fence line that needs a little work now and then, too. So.
I know. Well, I'm going to use something else to sterilize that in there. But,
sure.
So last fall, you know, out in my bigger yard that we don't fescue and everything. So last fall, I talked to you about this. She says, well, you got to be careful because the Bermuda is still. But I got the Roundup out, and I started spraying out there to kill that fescue. I don't want to mow 9 months out of the year.
Right.
I just didn't want to. Because in November, I'm still mowing.
That old hard fescue.
It's that old hard fescue. Uh-huh. That's what it's not a good fescue. It's a bad fescue. It's what the cows eat out in the pasture. Anyway, so I sprayed, and I did the job. The problem is, you could see everywhere I skipped and where I'd made turns. And
I know a guy with a drone, and he flew that over your property, and it says K-E-V-I-N.
No. But you know what it also got, Larry? I was amazed. Where I sprayed, yeah. I didn't have those pretty purple flowers either.
Well, actually, in the fall, they are growing. They grow. They start to sprout in September, October, when it begins to cool. And they just lay dormant, kind of in stasis,
so
all
I got
winter long. And then they come back up, so you kill them off.
So this fall, I'm going to go back and do it again where I...
After a good hard frost.
After a good hard frost, I'm going to go do it again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to clean that old stuff up.
With Roundup.
That'll work, yeah. In the areas you missed.
Yeah, the areas I missed. And
well, it'll be back.
Someday.
Yeah, the area you missed will have a thinner pathway, actually, because it'll kind of encroach from the surrounding area.
I always keep thinking that the heat in the summer, if I mow it short enough, it'll kill it.
But anyway, I thank you for putting that down on your grass because I have less weeds this year. Thank you.
Yeah.
They just roll up the street.
So what do they need to be planting to get those great colors? Our red buds right now are as pretty as I've ever seen.
Oh, the red buds. This cool weather has lengthened the time in which they bloom. The saucer magnolia is the same thing. We had a very nice bloom season on the saucer magnolias, but the red buds are putting on.
By the way, that's our state tree. Show. That's our state tree.
Oh, yes.
And they're as pretty as I've seen them in a long, long, long time.
Now, people ask me, we were out working in somebody's yard, and somebody stopped by and asked me, what kind of tree is that? And I said, it's a redbud. I said, that is a native redbud over here on the left, and on the right is an Oklahoma redbud. And you can tell the difference by the, number one, by the branching structure. The Oklahoma redbud is a bit clubbier than a regular native redbud.
Mm-hmm.
And the flower color is a little darker. And you have a better density also. So there are varieties of redbud trees out there. And the various sizes and heights of redbuds also. Oklahoma redbuds, they're a grafted redbud.
Mm-hmm.
And they're smaller than the other redbuds. And so you can use them safely around, you know, fairly close to utility lines without them getting into there. You just have to tell them it's an Oklahoma redbud, it won't get that tall.
Okay.
When they come through with their machine to... Wiped everything out.
So, Larry, do you have Oklahoma red buds out there?
Yes, we do. We have a few. They're growing pretty quickly, though, but we do have some.
And when do they need to start planting their, whatever you call those, begonias and all that kind of stuff?
Typically after the middle of this month.
Okay.
I heard whispers we're going to have a bit of a freeze on around the 17th of this month.
No way.
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know. I just heard that in conversation at the nursery. So we need to watch the 7-day forecast thing.
Okay, I think we got a call.
Typically, April the 15th, which is the traditional tax day.
July 15th. Now.
July. But anyway, we want to look at the weather forecast at that point and see what's happening with the weather, and so you avoid any freezing weather. It was a squeaker last night. We didn't. I don't think it froze at all last night.
You need to put your earphones on.
Got a call?
Yeah, we do.
Because you got a call.
All right, there we go.
There you go, left and right.
Good morning, and welcome. You're on the air. You have a question for Larry?
Yeah, good morning. I have a little clarification also. I was listening to a program yesterday, and they had a little trivia question on there. What kind of nut comes from the hickory tree? And they said pecan, and that was the right answer. Is that true?
Well, hickories and pecans are related.
Oh, okay.
So, put it this way, it's probably not untrue, but it's not exactly true.
Okay, well, I thought pecan and hickory was a total different species of tree.
They're a different genus. They share one of them is Acaria illinoisensis, and one of them is Acaria ovata. Acaria illinoisensis is the, help me out. Oh, pecan.
Pecan. Mm-hmm.
And Caria ovata is the hickory.
Oh, okay. Okay, so if I get hickory wood to barbecue, it's the same as pecan wood.
Yeah, the juggling in the wood is the same. I use them interchangeably at my house, too.
Okay,
makes a
well,
good brisket. Good old brisket. Yeah, you want to smoke it for about 6 hours, and you know.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, I've done that many a time. Well, thank you for your help, guys.
All right, thank you for calling.
All right, appreciate it. Farmer's Almanac, they do that sometimes. They'll talk about the trees and everything.
So yeah. A hickory, if I'm correct, it's a much harder shell.
Yeah, the walnut is Juglans nigra. It's a different genus and species.
Is it the type of hickory also?
It's related. It has a similar chemical in it as does the pecans and the hickory trees.
I've got some black walnuts out there
mm-hmm.
that I've planted, and the only reason I planted those black walnuts is because I wanted them to fall in my creek that runs into the pond, because the juice or whatever you want to call it from the walnut actually controls algae.
Exactly.
It does will control that. The algae.
It's also the husk. It's on the husk.
Yeah.
And it makes a good pre-emergent herbicide, too, or almost a soil sterilant.
But I got to tell you something.
Hmm.
You try to crack a black walnut,
oh.
You got to get a hammer, and you got to hit it pretty good.
Yeah, but it's worth it, because what's really good is,
they are, the
is
meat's
black
good
walnut ice cream.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You can't beat walnut ice cream.
Black walnuts.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the English walnut, which is very easy to crack. But
well, that goes back a few, few years.
So, but, Larry, I mean, now's the time to start working in those flower beds and yards and that type of thing.
It is. It's time to get that ground ready. Also time, if you have shrub beds, to get that mulch replenished. And we have been delivering just tons and tons of mulch.
Free delivery.
You bet. Free delivery on the mulch. On anything, really.
What kind of mulch you got out there?
We have a shredded cedar.
From those eastern red cedars in Oklahoma that they just cut down.
Well, actually, they don't like to use the ones from Oklahoma.
They don't?
No, they use the ones from Missouri.
Well, the eastern red cedars, because I always see when I've used it, I get little cedar trees coming up in my flower beds.
Well, they're ubiquitous anyway, so birds, you know.
The birds bring some of that.
Yeah.
But so how much is in each bag? Is it like 2.5 cubic feet?
3 cubic feet.
3, okay.
And it's a heavy 3 cubic feet. The guy didn't have any bags available, so he cut us a real good deal on filling them. So they are packed tight.
Are they?
Yeah, so it's probably more like 3.5 cubic feet. I mean, they're big things. So, yeah, it costs a little bit more than the big box stores. But then again, when you consider the volume, the cost per volume, it's about the same.
And the other side of the coin, you can get it in bulk at places also, but you got to have something to move it around once you get it.
We have it in bulk, and if you do want it delivered in bulk, you want to get it delivered on the driveway. And what's really effective in getting it up off the driveway is a snow shovel.
Yes.
Yes. That's how I broke mine. I still have to find a snow shovel. But anyway, it's a more economical way to get the mulch, the bulk is. It's a little bit more work.
So have you got cypress out there, too?
No.
No cypress. It's all cedar. Native cedar mulch right here.
Exactly.
And it does keep the bugs away, the cedar does.
It does until the chemical in it evaporates out. But it'll, for a long period of time, it'll mm-hmm. help keep ants and other things away because they don't like that.
They don't like
the smell of that. And it smells good, too. Yeah.
I love the smell of that cedar.
It reminds me of Silver Dollar City.
All right, Larry, let's keep moving here. You got lots to talk about today, and appreciate you coming in because I know, and our Kansas listeners, they can plant those Oklahoma red buds too, can't they?
Well, sure, yeah. Is there a Kansas red bud? Probably not.
No, we got Oklahoma red buds in Kansas. So.
Right, exactly.
No penalty for crossing the state line.
No.
None whatsoever.
You just got to pay the tariff.
Oh man.
No, nothing like that. I'm just kidding.
Taxes are cheaper in Oklahoma, I guess. I don't know if they are or not. But anyway, we love our Kansas listeners up there too.
You bet.
We that sure do. And I wanted to say Mark Muller Construction up there, he tells me, oh, he listens to you every week.
Like, yeah, well good. I'm glad to hear that.
Hello Mark.
Hello Mark.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Knowatta Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring is here and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses, and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Knowatta Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
Be safe, be strong, be careful, and don't spread rumors.
Thank everybody at Bartlesville Radio for helping us through this coronavirus thing. It's really helped my family and everybody that we know.
Up to the minute report.
Our radio station, our media is sharing that over and over and over again.
On COVID-19.
Thank you and the radio station for all you're doing to put the word out.
Thanks for keeping us informed. We really appreciate Bartlesville Radio.
Together.
We will get there.
We're here to prepare you, not scare you. K1, the one you trust.
Good morning. It's 8:30 and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. We've got Larry Glass with us. And Larry, we've got a lot of content in that first half hour. And we got a lot more to go today because, you know, it's just that time of year. Spring gets busy.
Exactly. The Bermuda grass is starting to grow. I know in the front of my house, I dethatched it 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's really greening up real nice.
Oh, good.
So, but if you haven't done it yet, it's not too late.
Okay.
Bermuda grass is fairly resilient. It's not sending out a whole lot of stolons yet. Mm-hmm. Stolons are those little growths that come out horizontally,
mm-hmm.
that spread, you know, halfway across the driveway between mowings. So they have, really hasn't done a lot of that yet. It's just kind of greening up at this point, sort of sticking its foot in the water.
Seeing
I haven't fertilized it yet. Mm-hmm. It's not really warm enough yet to try to stimulate a lot of growth on the Bermuda grass.
Gotcha.
So if you can, try to refrain from fertilizing at this point until we have some good consistent warmth. So if it's cool and you try to stimulate a lot of growth, it gets subjected to disease.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have an ugly yard. So anyway, so just back off on that a little bit. However, on the other side of the coin, the fescue grass is growing really well right now.
Mm-hmm.
It likes this cool, moist weather. And so if it's not green, if it doesn't look like that really beautiful dark green color, you might consider fertilizing it at this point too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as time progresses and it's going to get a little bit warm this week, you might consider raising the mower up a notch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We did the low cut and that was pretty exhausting. We have to raise it up now. That's a relief.
Well, as it gets warmer, the fescue grass needs more surface area for transpiration.
Gotcha.
That's kind of like sweat.
Yeah.
Grass sweat, you know. Yeah.
My grass is sweat,
hot,
man.
Grass wears little sweat bands, you know. But, but anyway, the more surface area that you have for evapotranspiration, the cooler the grass is going to be and the better it'll survive the heat. So we need to be mowing that fescue grass progressively higher as time goes on. I would recommend a fertilizer with a little bit of emphasis on the nitrogen and maybe a 16-8-7 or something, and put some iron in there too. The iron will help darken the color without a whole lot of nitrogen, so you don't have to mow it, you know, you have to go out and mow it again before the mower gets cool.
Got it.
You don't have to mow it again. So that'll keep the frequency distant a little bit too. So also, it's time to spray for broadleaf weeds. And not necessarily the hen bit. The hen bit's on its way out. It likes a cool season. But once it blooms, it's too late to do much of anything about it. So don't worry about it too much. Just kind of mow it down and plant all those seeds in the ground. And we'll talk about pre-emergent herbicides in September.
Gotcha.
So at this point, it's too late to worry about the hen bit. However, other things such as dandelions and just other broadleaf weeds in general are coming up now. The latecomers are up and growing. I was at a house this last week. It was beautiful, covered in dandelions, almost a sea of yellow. It's really kind of attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to tell them they were edible, but anyway, it was kind of pretty. So they can be controlled at this point also if dandelions bother you a little bit. So a good way to keep the weeds under control and have a healthy lawn is to fertilize it properly, keep it watered real well, and keep the grass healthy. And you have to know what the grass requires as far as nutrients are concerned. And Bermuda grass is kind of a heavy feeder of nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And a light application or a moderate application, depending on your situation, of nitrogen fertilizer once a month is very good for your Bermuda grass. Just don't try to pile it on in the spring. You get this big surge of growth. And then when it needs it the most in the summertime, it's starving for nutrients. So you do want to give a slow application, a light application monthly on your Bermuda grass.
Yeah, just do it right.
When it gets dry outside and you do fertilize your grass, make sure if you don't have a sprinkler system that you can irrigate the area right away after you fertilize it. So it might be maybe a morning fertilization and water it in, then an afternoon fertilization and water that part in if you can't water your yard all at once. So make sure you can water it in, especially when it gets hot in the summertime. So anyway, it's kind of it on the grass. Too late for pre-emergence. You can have some control of crabgrass at this point. If you do put some down, it's not going to control all of it, but you will get some control if you put the pre-emergence down at this point, if you missed the boat, in other words. And then with all the rain we've been having, you might consider purchasing a second application of pre-emergent herbicide to be put down in May. Because it gets too diluted to be effective. And it doesn't kill the crabgrass seeds. It stops them from germinating, or it stops the germination process. And there's still seeds that are not going to germinate that are still there, and it will come up to haunt you later on in the summer. So in light of all the rain we've had, you might consider having another application put on in June, early June, or late May.
All right. Sounds pretty good. So, keep that under control.
That's the deal with lawns right now. And Bermuda grass also, mow it progressively higher. And I see people with unhealthy fescue lawns, and they're just cut real close to the ground. And I said, that's the primary reason why your grass is not healthy is you're mowing it too low. You need to make fescue a tall grass. There's a reason why they call it tall fescue.
It's supposed to be.
Really tall. So
give it some space, man.
With zoysia grass, kind of the same as Bermuda grass. It's a warm season grass. It starts to grow. It spreads more slowly than Bermuda grass. I prefer it as a long grass over Bermuda grass because it is better behaved. And it tends to be a little bit more olive green in color. And you can darken that with some iron-based fertilizer. It'll make it a real dark green color. So you might consider zoysia grass as an alternative to Bermuda grass. The zoysia grass can be plugged in amongst the Bermuda grass, and it will engulf and devour the Bermuda. It will actually take over Bermuda grass. So you might consider that too. And it doesn't spread so bad into the beds as the Bermuda grass does. So those are three options of grasses in here. Annuals, annual plants, the ones that bloom all summer long, these typically are tropicals. And it's getting time to do that, so you need to get your ground ready. It makes it so much easier to plant if you can prepare the soil prior to working up a composition for
your
animals. You gotta
work the dirt.
Gotta work that dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to get a hand trowel and just dip it in the soil, put in the plant. You shouldn't have to stab it.
Chisel away.
Air hammer chisel. You should be able to just easily dig it out and put it in annual for the annuals to do real well. So if you don't have that situation in your annual beds right now, you might consider getting that done. The weather's going to be good this week. A lot of people are at home. Call us up. We'll bring out some compost, and you can work it into the soil.
That'll work out great. Really put it in.
Generally, add 3 cubic feet of compost for every 18 square feet of soil.
That's your ratio.
And prepare it down about 8 inches. Mm-hmm. So take your surface area, multiply it by 0.083, and that'll give you how many bags of compost you're going to need.
Easy calculation.
0.083 times your square footage equals bags of compost.
There you go. And it's not really even a story problem. It's just a
Or just 3 inches.
Anyway,
it'll give you how many bags you need. So it's a simple matter. You can step it off, get it pretty close. It doesn't have to be exact. And then you should arrive at a number. Get out your little phone. They've got calculators on them. I need 15 bags of compost.
There you go.
Okay.
Make your order. Larry, you have.
Right. Also, what's coming online are perennials. We've got a great selection of perennials right now at this point. Mm-hmm. Some phlox and some dianthus. Dianthus are really putting on a good show. They like this cool weather. Dianthus are very well suited to cool weather. Mm-hmm. And we have some that are a bit more heat resistant. So you might consider getting some dianthus, the perennial type, for some color right now at this point. Okay?
Very good. We're going to have to take a quick break, Larry. We're going to have more. And, of course, we want your telephone calls. We'd like for you to be a little bit interactive here because you never know. You might be bringing up something that we might have overlooked. And that telephone number is 1-800-749-5936. It's a toll-free call. And we'll be back with more after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
Peter's True Value wants to remind you that it's time for spring lawn care. Reseed your lawn now with Phil's Mix. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix, only available at Peter's True Value in Dewey. And Peter's now has onion sets and seed potatoes in stock. Stop in today for all your lawn and garden needs at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage and Highway 75 in Dewey.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
It's round 3 of Shut-In Songbox, brought to you by Bartlesville Radio and Jam Production.
1, 2, 3.
Your chance to win prizes with a unique radio game show next Thursday evening on sister station 100.1 KYFM.
Be time.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com, click on Shut In Songbox, and tell us how many you're going to play.
Easy as 1, 2, 3. I'm simple as gold, bring me ABC. 1, 2, 3, baby, you and me, girl.
My sweetness means you'll meet me in the hallway.
Third time might be a charm.
Wait for round 6. Let's play this Thursday evening.
1, 2, 3, baby, you and me, girl.
Hi, this is Landon Kerr from Dink's Pit Barbecue. And yes, we are open for lunch and dinner curbside pickup 7 days a week, and we're offering all of your Dink's favorites. While many of you know our menu, ordering is very simple. So like before, just pick up the phone and give us a call. With your order, just include payment information, a time you'd like to pick up, and one of our familiar faces will deliver it to your car when you arrive. We've missed all of our customers and cannot wait to see you. So call us today at Dink's Pit Barbecue, 918-335-0606. We look forward to hearing you.
And welcome back. It is 842, Green Country Gardener Program. And, of course, your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. And we've got Larry as our resident expert, as always. And he has all the answers. I'm Tom. I'm just the monkey handling the phone. And together we
well, have... actually, I couldn't run that machine over there, so...
Now, we just got done talking about the grass. We were talking a little bit about the annuals.
The perennials?
The perennials, yeah.
The peonies.
The peonies are coming.
Just overnight, they just
grow. Boom.
If they were bamboo plants, they would be 50 feet tall.
Whoa, they grow that fast. Rapid growth,
They really grow fast, and they're starting to set on some blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
So peonies are coming up, and we've had somebody come into the nursery and say, my peony never blooms. I said, when was the last time you divided it? Well, never.
There again lies the problem.
If they're not blooming satisfactorily and there's a good-sized clump, there's two things that could be wrong. It could be it's not getting enough sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps at the time it was planted, it had plenty of sunshine. Uh-huh. However, people plant trees and they grow and they shade them out a little bit. So perhaps it's just not getting enough sun. So when I moved into my house, they had two or three big clumps of peonies. And okay, let's see what happens. Well, you got one or two flowers. So I dug the whole thing up in the wintertime mm-hmm. and split it up into 10 pieces.
Oh, my.
Now I got a yard
they're full. Popping all over
I
the place.
I got a yard full. I gave some away. And they're absolutely beautiful when they bloom at this point. And they put on some blossoms mm-hmm. at this point. They're getting ready to bloom. We're just waiting for a good heavy rain because they don't bloom until it rains and it knocks all the flowers off.
Jeez.
Yeah. Usually when the peonies are in bloom, we have a heavy rain. So, but anyway, I think they're going to put on a really good show this year. They had a lot of regrowth last year from all the rain we had.
Yeah, we had a little bit of rain last year.
Exactly. And they've made a bit of a rebound. So there's not only are there wide tree rings, but we have a lot of big peony clumps growing in town this year. The iris, they're bloom right now. I have to divide mine. Admittedly, I didn't do it last summer like I should have. And I have a big bunch of iris about 6 feet apart, and I've got like five flower stalks on. They really need to be divided. They're kind of crowded.
Oh, boy.
So about every 3 years, those have to be divided, too. Mine are getting it this year. So, and my twice-blooming iris are starting to bloom in the backyard.
There you go.
They bloom in the spring and the fall. That's the only variety we sell of iris are twice-bloomers.
There you go. You get more bang for the buck.
Yeah, they bloom again in the fall. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the heuchera is up. Heuchera, otherwise known as corbels or chatterbox,
mm-hmm.
they're available in varieties that bloom. They have pink blooms on them or white blooms. And different colored leaves. It's sort of like coleus.
Mm.
In other words, they have leaf color on them. That's their primary interest. Mm-hmm. On some of these varieties of heuchera, they're available in kind of this greenish-yellow variety and a good orange, red, and a deep purple. So they're really an attractive plant to have in the shade. And I like to associate those with, say, the Japanese painted ferns.
Mm-hmm.
Gives a good textural contrast, and the Japanese painted fern just popped up this last week, too. So it makes some interest in a shady garden. The heuchera plants don't like the sun very well, but they do like a partially shaded or a shaded situation.
Just enough to photosynthesize and leave them alone, right?
Exactly, yeah. So that's kind of what's going on with perennials right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, also the lechoris are in full leaf right now. They look a little bit like daffodils and somewhere between a daffodil and an amaryllis of leaves right now. So if you have these leaves that come up that don't do anything, they're fairly wide and they have a real smooth margin, they're kind of fleshy. Chances are those are lychoris, otherwise known as surprise lilies. And the leaves come up, and they look real nice and green, and where are the flowers, and they die away. Oh, well, that was a lost cause. and then all of a sudden, anywhere between late June, July, and August, depending on the weather and all that, these flowers just come up out of nowhere.
Surprise!
Surprise lilies, yeah. Those are actually a member of the amaryllis family.
I see.
And they're really easy to grow, and so they're up right now. So
good.
You plant those typically in the fall. So anyway, with trees, the dogwoods are in full bloom right now. They're absolutely gorgeous. The dogwoods are in their peak right now. Mm-hmm. Last week it was a saucer magnolias. This week it's the dogwoods.
Mm.
And with this warm weather coming on, they really, really ought to open up real wide this week. Dogwoods typically bloom for a fairly long period of time. So enjoy the flowers when you can. They're fairly easy to grow. They like well-drained soil, and they like to be planted, say, on a slope.
Mm-hmm.
They do like some shielding from the hot sun, typically. They can adapt, however, to a brighter, sunnier condition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the plant's a little bit weaker, and sometimes the dogwood tree grows more dense mm-hmm. in the sun, if you can get it to survive. So there are some shining examples of dogwoods growing in sun here in town, but the success rate isn't that good.
No.
So they do need some shielding. keep them away from hackberry trees, keep them away from maple trees, and they should do okay.
And, of course, make sure, you know, they, like you say, they like the draining.
Right, yeah. They don't like swampy areas. Their native habitat is natural forest lands that drains real well, slope soils, rocky soils, and so on, with a heavy mulch cover. They really do quite well. So dogwoods are in full bloom right now. We have pink ones and white ones right now. And we also have Khalsa dogwoods, which is the Korean dogwood. They bloom later on in the presence of leaves. In other words, the flowers are born up on top of the leaves. It makes a good backdrop for the color. We had those in white and pink.
You've been delivering a lot of trees, though, lately, haven't you?
Yeah.
At the shop.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of that. So. Oh, yeah. So anyway, you might consider, if you don't have a situation that's suitable for a Cornus florida or a flowering dogwood, you might consider a Khalsa dogwood. They're more resistant to stem anthracnose and other disease problems that the other dogwoods, the Cornus floridas, seem to get in some situations.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a sturdier.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit sturdier. Uh-huh. The Japanese maples are really out right now also. They've got a great selection of Japanese maples, and they grow fairly quickly. So the beautiful red leaves right now make a very striking show in the landscape. So typically the more shade, the prettier they are. So you might consider getting a Japanese maple just to brighten up an area. I was at somebody's house this last week doing a consultation, and have all these trees around, but there's just no... It's all just the same. There's no interest. I said, you need to sprinkle in some dogwoods and some Japanese maples in amongst the woods here to create some seasonal interest, because it's just kind of the same.
Get a little contrast. Get a little artsy with it.
A little color, a little more, stuff like that. Uh-huh. And these plants are indigenous to the woodsy areas, so they should do quite well.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break right now. It's 8:49. We've got more coming up. Plus, we've got your phone calls, 1-800-749-5936. It's the Green Country Gardener Program. We'll be back in 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
These are your COVID-19 postponements, closings, and cancellations brought to you by Truity Credit Union and Brian Kennedy Farmers Insurance. Businesses affected by the Governor's Safer at Home Executive Order temporarily closed or altering operations in compliance with the order. Gatherings of 10 people or more not allowed statewide temporarily to help curb the spread of... For a list of businesses that are open, go to BartlesvilleRadio.com. Click the open button. K1 Cooking Extravaganza postponed till September 1st. Food distribution, Agape Mission of Bartlesville, serving to-go meals only. Catholic Charities Mary Martha Outreach, still serving food, but through their drive-thru. Public schools are offering student meal services. Check with your public school system. The churches for this weekend: Dewey First United Methodist Church having their drive-in church at Don Tyler Park Sunday at 10. Listen to KRIG 104.9 for audio. Westminster Presbyterian Church is live streaming Sunday 9:30 service at westminsteropc.com. Spirit Church moving to online services. Grace Community Church online service live Sunday 10:45 at gccbartlesville.org or on Facebook. Bartlesville First Baptist, all campus activities canceled. Sunday morning services online at 8:30 and at 11 a.m. at mybfbc.org or on Facebook. Highland Park Baptist Church will move to online services at highlandparkbaptist.net or Facebook. We have First Presbyterian Church, all services canceled through April 5th. Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church canceling services till Easter Sunday. Memorial Christian Church, no services till further notice. Same with Sooner Park Wesleyan Church. First Wesleyan Church of Bartlesville closed with streaming online the 9 a.m. traditional and 10:30 contemporary Sunday service via fwcbartlesville.org. First Church of the Nazarene will air on KYFM only and online at facebook.com/BFCNAS till further notice. Victory Worship Center is holding services Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. at 1550 Keeler Avenue. Online services at openyourfaith.com. Get Real Ministries will hold a parking lot praise Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Those are your COVID-19 postponements and closings brought to you by Truity Credit Union and Brian Kennedy Farmers Insurance. On Bartlesville Radio, the ones you trust. And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Our phone lines are open with your questions or comments at 1-800-749-5936. And Larry Glass is with us here. And, boy,
I wish the sun would shine.
Yes, yes. You guys need to get to work on that.
Yeah.
But anyway, dogwood trees. My dogwood tree, my rescue dogwood tree. Like a rescue dogwood.
Yeah, gotcha.
I have to get on the roof to see it. So I'll be climbing the roof of my house.
Like, see the roof dust. To see your dogwood.
Yeah, exactly.
And check its bark while you're at it.
That's right. It has an interesting bark. We bring up that.
We've been indoors too long.
The dogwood has a bark with rectilinear fissures in mm-hmm. it, little squares.
Mm-hmm.
It goes around. It's kind of an interesting bark. Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. different. Kind of like persimmon. Persimmon tree has
got that design on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, dogwood. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. It is subjected to borers. So watch it on those. Be careful around those. You can inoculate your tree against borers with some imidacloprid after it blooms. You don't want to poison the bees.
No.
So that makes a good effective control for that. So just give it a good location, good well-drained location, fair amount of sunshine, maybe some shielding. I have mine shielded by a water oak, and it does very well. They're very compatible. Okay, so dogwoods.
There you go.
Available in anything from white to pink to a dark pink color, and they're really quite attractive. Fertilize them lightly.
Mm-hmm.
They should do okay. They're really native to areas where the soil fertility isn't really that great, so mm-hmm. you don't want to overdo it on them. Yeah, you can't just pour it on there and expect all these blooms to come out of it.
It doesn't work that way.
No. If anything, use a kind of a weak application of fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Directly after it blooms.
A little less is more thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. They're kind of touchy about change. They just don't like change.
I feel their pain.
Okay. Oh, golly. Shrubs right now, you can fertilize your existing shrubs. I fertilize my nandinas and my boxwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an iron sulfate tulip and did that on my dwarf yopon hollies. And dwarf yopon hollies, they're kind of a workhorse in the landscape. But their color mm-hmm. could be a little darker. So you might want to add some iron sulfate,
okay.
FeSO4. And it does help enhance the deep colors of the yopons. They look unusually, in my boxwoods, are unusually emerald green in color.
Mm-hmm.
And boxwoods, you don't have to train them like boxes.
No.
I've got some that are pointed and some that just let go naturally. And in the backyard, there are some that are actually tree-formed. They look like little miniature trees.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. So you can sculpt these and have some fun with them, too. So you don't have to turn them into little cubes.
No.
So, and they're actually, when it comes back to boxwood, there's several varieties of them. And I kind of like to use them as a green backdrop in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that don't get so big. The baby jade, the baby jam boxwood are a very small, kind of a miniature thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay very well in bounds. They'll make cute little spheres or boxes or whatever you want.
Whatever.
Or you just kind of let them go. And they do fine.
Yeah.
So a lot's going on with the shrubs, too. We've got tons of stuff out there.
All right.
We have some of the emeralds. Sunshine ligustrum.
Ah.
Yeah. They use the word ligustrum. That's the genus for privet. It's actually a privet plant. But it has no flowers. It has no seeds, unlike most privets, which mm-hmm. proliferate mm-hmm. all over the place. These don't. They're sterile. Mm. And the color, the leaf color, it's a brilliant yellow color. They're very attractive in the full sun. Very, very bright in the summer. They really pop out in the landscape. Especially up against, say, a dark facade of a house or mm-hmm. a red brick house or something that's fairly dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of sunshine on it, as the name implies, sunshine, emerald sunshine,
mm-hmm.
ligustrum. And we got quite a few of these available. And they are very nice-looking plants, very, very easy to grow. And you can cut them, you can whack them back, and they come back just fine. They're very sturdy.
Good, hardy plants.
Good, hardy plants, no insect problems. And they're not invasive like common privet plants are.
Well, they almost sound like the perfect plant to have.
They are. Now, if we can get that attribute in a lot of our...
we'll be doing
well,
fine.
Nandinas. Yeah. They're similar to that. So. But these actually will work very well with obsession nandinas, the purple color of the obsession and the yellow color of these plants. So it gives you some foliage color, good backdrop for some annuals and perennials with some flower color in front.
We'll be back for our last word here in just a moment after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
Spring is here and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses, and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Be safe, be strong, be careful, and don't spread rumors.
Thank everybody at Bartlesville Radio for helping us through this coronavirus thing. It's really helped my family and everybody that we know.
Up to the minute report.
Our radio station, our media is sharing that over and over and over again.
On COVID-19.
Thank you and the radio station for all you're doing to put the word out.
Thanks for keeping us informed.
We really appreciate Bartlesville Radio.
Together.
We will get there.
We're here to prepare you, not scare you. K1, the one you trust.
All right, Larry.
Hey, Tom, we got another show under the wire. And keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All righty. Stay tuned. We've got the news coming up next.